You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane. And for today's topic, Jane, we're going to continue with the buyer perspective on buying a house. Mm-hmm. So to recap from the last show, we started getting into the whole buyer process, you know, what the considerations are for when they buy a home.
Yeah. What is the right time to buy a home for them.
What is the right time for them. And we got to the point basically where the buyers decided that they want to buy for various reasons. Mainly, the interest rates are still low, even though they might be paying more than they would in another market. It all comes down to the monthly payment.
That's correct.
The low interest rates offset the price increase that we're experiencing due to the seller's market. So for them, it's kind of a wash because it's the monthly payment that's the driving factor.
And also the lifestyle change. You know, a lot of people want to have a home they feel they belong and raise their family and be comfortable. Especially a lot of people work from home. Now they may need a bigger space for everybody.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we covered that a lot of the buyers are experiencing frustration because unfortunately with the home process, there's only one buyer that can be the winner, that can be the selected buyer.
Right.
And a lot of buyers are saying, gee, what do I have to do to win? I've already bid over asking price. I waived the appraisal contingency. I'm limiting my home inspections to the core structural safety, environmental items. And I'm still losing the house. Mm-hmm. And it's almost analogous to like you said, the college application process. You know, basically it doesn't mean that just because you lost doesn't mean you're no good. It just means you're not the best qualified.
Just like college you mentioned, right, Ken? It's really the perspective. Some college more on the sports side. I mean, I would never get in. Mm-hmm. And some may on more, you know, academic, some more maybe other talent, right? It's really not right or wrong, a good buyer, this good buyer, a bad buyer. You know, they all good, right? But it really depends how seller look at it, right? Today, I would like to share some strategies may help the buyer to win the home. It's like you play college. Most people would have a college counselor to guide you the process application. Same here, when you're buying a house, you know, you have a strategy how to win. I mean, when this COVID situation relaxed a little bit, we were invited a couple of really good buyer agent. You know, they really first class agent helping the buyer to win the case. After one out of another, they will share some their expertise, their experience. But in general, from my perspective as a seller, agent perspective, right? What seller looking for? First of all, you have to be showing you really love the home. You appreciate the home. Not by word, but by what you offer, right? Mm-hmm. So the first offer is very important. Initial offer is vital, right? So you have to offer what you truly think the house worth. Don't start low and negotiate, right? Because if you do that, you leave a very bad taste in seller's mouth. So you may, even though later on you may go super high, the seller feel you're not stable because you're up and down, right, too much.
And
so
we covered that on the prior show. That also brings up the escalation clause, which we also covered in the prior show. But the pros and the cons, and that gets to the whole emotional thing with the escalation clause, because if you're gonna offer considerably less than the escalation clause will go to, that could leave a very shaky feeling in the seller's mind as to your genuine intention. Are you really in love with the house and really committed to offering what the escalation clause cap is at?
Yes.
You know, if your push comes to shove.
Absolutely. It's not really you genuine or not as a buyer. It's perception. Sometimes perception is a reality, right?
And most of the time.
Even you're genuine, but if you, what you present is not quite, that's why the strategy came in, right? Here, it's very easy to follow a strategy here. Number one, I would recommend the buyer to pick attorney. You will say, why? I haven't bought a house yet. Why I need an attorney? First of all, you get yourself prepared. Like when I have when I was pregnant, right, I didn't wait for after I gave a birth, go out to buy the baby clothes, whatever we need. We got it done well, you know, during the pregnancy. You just really get it ready.
Yeah, you just forgot the diapers, but that was... No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that was not a day topic. Yeah. But truly, right, get the buyer attorney, these, you know, chosen. It's not because it doesn't cost you anything, right? And if you have the buyer attorney chosen, and when you present an offer, some buyer I see, they put who's the buyer attorney, who's everything. That serve two or three purpose. Why? Number one, you show how ready you are. You know, it is a seller market. Once the seller signed and take you 3 days to find a lawyer, and here somebody else came and outbeat
right,
you.
And we're going to
cover
that
later.
Too,
but at the beginning, if you have the attorney, in our case, right, one seller chose, we just send out to both attorneys that review immediately. So in the seller's mind, you are more ready. So because you have the attorney picked out, you're ready to move forward with the process.
And another important thing with the whole process is having the loan officer, I mean, ready and accessible, because mm-hmm. most list agents, a good list agents, will actually will call the loan officer. So don't give if you're going to give a pre-approval letter from a list agent, from a mortgage broker that's, you know, not in Jersey or somewhere out, you know, out in the Midwest or West, don't just have an 800 office number.
Yes.
You have to have the cell phone number. Otherwise, the list agent will be very frustrated. So that goes to having
you take
your,
a longer.
It'll take
yeah.
longer to mm-hmm. reach them, and that's going to delay
your process.
Decision-making
yes.
process. So you mm-hmm. want the cell number. So from the buyer agent and buyer perspective, have the cell number of your loan officer ready.
And the email, or at least an email ready.
And even some buyer agents take it to the next level, and they'll have the loan officer actually reach out to the list agent and express the, you know, the qualifications of
once again the for the lesson there, that your loan officer not going to release any personal information. They just give the leasing agent and the seller confident, you know, I mean, from 1 to 10, what's most likely, right? We're not asking how much your salary.
They
never can tell us.
No.
But from 1 to 10, you know, how confident you are, you know, that's something general. But with that, the contract is one thing, the number on the contract. If you never closed, it means nothing. It's going to harm the seller, also harm the buyer. Because after you go through this process, if you can't, because your mortgage and it couldn't go through, all this investment in time and money will be gone. So it's heartbreaking.
Right.
So we actually is protect both parties, right? The seller and buyer. So have the loan officer, right, ready to do that. That's very important.
Right.
It's a good point.
Because the list agent will interview the loan officer, and they will ask him, a good list agent will ask the loan officer the questions, is the buyer a 1099 or a W-2?
Yeah.
Because that can be, and if they're a 1099, they're going to want to know whatever they can find out about this, how long they've been in the business for,
yeah.
even though the loan
mm-hmm.
officer cannot.
Cannot give
you
details,
any,
but
or give any financial
yeah.
income
yeah.
or earnings. But at least, you know, that's a very important question.
Yeah, because a lot of time, right, as a leasing agent, when we call the loan officer, we understand they can't disclose personal information. We're not expected to disclose. If we call them, say, well, is the buyer 1099 or W-2? If the loan officer said, why is that? Why you ask that question? We know that loan officer
is an experienced.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. So that gives us indication, you know, the approval may not carry the same weight as the loan officer very thorough did everything. For example, there was a loan officer reach out to me yesterday, for example, for offer multiple bid as well. So he reached out, he said, Jane, you know, we work in the past and enjoying, so on and so forth. My buyer is your dream buyer. And they read very well, blah, 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 blah. You know, they give you all this, you know, confident knowing the buyer loan officer did the homework.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't tell me anything specific. He just said the buyer had all the paperwork in.
Mm-hmm.
We already go through the system. We just need a contract and we'll be ready to roll. So that, I don't have to worry about it, right? But when the people said the buyer handling everything we needed, and they are good, they not only, they approved basically. They just, only thing they need is a property. So that's all. So that's really carry a lot of
they're
weight.
Approved and the credit is
yeah.
run.
Yeah, they've done everything. They don't have to tell me. They just say, this yeah. is your dream buyer. They have everything you needed. We have all the documents we need. They pre-approved. The buyer is no issue. The issue is your seller have to sign it. Once that, we're good. So that's really give the seller, I mean, I will pass on the message to the seller. So that will give a seller the confidence. You know, once we accept, it's going to be smooth ride. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's two things then that basically a good buyer agent can do is have the attorney ready and have the loan officer, I mean, not only the pre-approval letter, which is a basic requirement, but also
you must have a loan. For the buyer out there, right? Without your pre-approval letters, most listing agents don't even entertain the offer, because how we know you're qualified? That's a seller. First question: all my 100% of my seller instruct me has to have the loan pre-approval. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about.
Assuming you're buying with the mortgage, otherwise you need a proof of funds if it's a cash.
Yes, we want to see the bank statement to confirm that.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So those.
And that's the two things very important. The third thing, personally, I think very important is when you write a contract, don't assume the seller and the seller agent know. You always write in the contract, say something like, this contract is not subject to selling or renting the current property. If that's the case, if you need, you have to write in there. Okay. Even in this competitive market, I did had a few agent won. Why? Because they prepared. They came in. They said, my house is subject to selling our home. Right. And here's the contract attached to this. And we finished the home inspection contingency. It says satisfied. The mortgage commitment is satisfied. Where we add, here's our client's buyer agent phone number, their loan officer phone number, if you want to check reference. Right. I mean, that's really, thorough. So when we see that, we know you're ready. Yes.
Right. And that gets into a whole other topic when the whole process of the buyer has to sell their current home to buy the home they want to buy, then there's a lot more due diligence that the list agent has to do, because then you've got to basically be married to the buyer's sale contract, and then you've got to check on that buyer and that buyer's we'll call that purchaser's pre-approval letter and the home inspection issues related to that that transaction, because that all, if that falls apart, then your purchase falls apart.
Yes, that's like a double the risk, double the workload. It's not the workload, it's at the end of the day how it's really the percentage. You have to calculate the risk, how most likely you're going to close. So that's what it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, all good stuff. Why don't we take a short break and we'll be right back.
Calling all commercial buyers interested in owning prime space in a strip mall located directly off of busy Route 33 in downtown Hamilton. The space is suitable for office, medical, or possible retail usage. For more information on this property, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. Attention to developers and contractors. Over 3 acres of land located at the heart of East Brunswick is up for sale. Great location and lots of potential. For further details, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. You are listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jay Muller on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to our show. We're discussing the buyer process, and we were talking before the break, Jane. I want to delve more into this topic about when a buyer comes along to the seller and they have a contingency, they have to sell their current home, we'll call the current buyer home A, in order to buy the seller home S, okay?
Yeah.
So there's a lot, I mean, that's something, a lot of list agents, so it really depends on having your ducks in a row and how far along the buyer is in selling their home, whether they have to be under contract, have they satisfied the home inspection, has that purchaser of buyer's home gotten the mortgage? Those are all their various stages that home sale could be in, and that's all going to impact the seller's decision-making process. Oftentimes, it could be a very strong offer, but you have to really investigate where the buyer is in selling their home, what stage
they're
in.
Yes, absolutely. I did have a experience recently. The offer was made not subject to buyer's selling their current home.
Wait, when you say the offer was made, you mean the offer was, it was not written in the offer that there was any, there was not disclosed in the contract?
No, the agent particularly in the offering covering letter said this home is not subject to sell their current home. And which is, you know, it's in the current letter, but it wasn't in the contract. When we went to an attorney review, somehow the buyer attorney changed the tune. Say this contract closing have to be coincide with the selling their home the same day. And then when we read that, we were shocked. So there was never been disclosed or discussed even, because the contract was subject, was signed, accepted based on no contingency.
Right.
So, and then I mean, personally, in a way, very experienced, you know, even though there was misunderstanding, but I still want to give a buyer opportunity. So I called a buyer agent. I said, first of all, I wish you be, you know, more truthful, right? But regardless, it happened, it happened. Let's deal with it. Can you give me the contract of your home? You know, the buyer you want to subject to selling, can you give a contract? It turns out the buyer doesn't have a contract yet. The buyer said to the agent or the lawyer, I want to buy a house first and then sell my house later, because it's so easy to sell the house today, but how do I know I can buy a house? At the end...
Well, that's wishful thinking.
Yes,
but I mean,
that's
the market isn't, there's no way, they don't have a chance of getting any seller to entertain their...
At the end, the seller attorney canceled, you know, suggests the seller cancel the contract, because this really, I mean, we have nothing to work with at that point.
Right, and that's where that's where the coaching and guidance of the buyer agent should come in to let let their clients know that, and especially in today's market where the sellers can be highly selective of who they accept, that if you're basically... If you're basically have to rely on selling your house and you haven't even put your house on the market, the seller's not going to have the patience, unless the seller had like a long-term plan of maybe, you know, 6 months.
Building a house in a year or something.
But it's unlikely they would entertain that offer.
Yes, but being truthful upfront, right? That's really lead to another part, right? And when you say you want to buy a house, once we talk about what the buyer can do to make the offer more standing out, right? First of all, have your buyer attorney picked, and have your loan officer contacted, ready to be, you know, contacted. And another one is you really, really have to show the bank statement, for instance. Why do I have to show my bank statement? Because you will have a down payment, right, when you purchase. And deposit and down payment. If I were the buyer agent, I would also include a bank statement to show where the down payments are and the closing cost. So in that way, I mean, now as a leasing agent, we request that like a standard across the board.
It should be upfront, because if you're buying a $500,000 home, you're getting a conventional mortgage, borrowing 80%, you're putting down 20%. So that would be $100,000
plus the closing cost.
So it's important, right, plus the closing cost. So you should provide a bank statement to show that you've got funds of $120,000 in liquid cash form ready for the down, for the cash funding portion of it.
Absolutely. And if I mean, now we cross board, we want that, you know, from the buyer agent up front now. So when we had the bank statement, we will know they don't have the funding. So, and then we will know we wouldn't have to go that far. We wouldn't have to select them and later on cancel them. We would know they don't have. That's why it's important for buyer agent or the buyer to supply that. Why? If you give me the house, I will give it to you. And in contrary, without that document, if other people give that document, they would, you know, more ready, the seller more sort of like go through everything, saying that's good. They're more likely to pick the one, have all the information with it. It's like an application, like we say college.
Right.
It's like application.
So
the whole package has to be, you know, have all this vital information for the seller to make an informative decision.
It's like having all your ducks in a row and having it packaged. And obviously the price is a very important thing, but you have to have the organization, the attorney, the loan officer, cell phone, the pre-approval letter, and also the proof of the cash down payment, the proof of funds for the cash down payment. And then, you know, and actually we can even take it a step further, which is not done very uncommon, but we actually experienced this where one buyer agent was super organized and not only had the things we mentioned presented, but they also presented the attorney review letter that the buyer attorney, the proposed amendments to the contract. That's a very unusual situation, but it's really
But they won. They won the house.
And it's a pretty innovative and not a bad idea.
It's a very innovative thinking, right? I mean, we got that one. I think the agent did above and beyond because they are in the situation. They know this multiple bid. They know they have to sell the house in order to purchase this one. So they know they are on the lower chain of the buyers, right? Because so they went above and beyond. They produce a offer and a cover letter and let owner know, I mean, we are flexible with the closing, right? After they sell their house, they're going to stay with a relative and they can work with our closing, which is very comfort to the seller. And also they propose the appraisal contingency and also the be added his condition for cosmetic except the major, you know, the issue we talked in previous shows. Mm-hmm. And however, sometimes the lawyer protect the buyer, they may change it in the attorney review. But in this way, they want to speed up, they want to lose the deal, they want to get it and not losing it. So they, with the offer, they come with the buyer attorney review letter, which is the first time in my entire career. Think about it. That's a brilliant idea. I don't, you know, they came in, the lawyer basically already, if the seller attorney happy with the change, they just sign it without a review. So right. Basically, the seller signed the contract, go to the lawyer read it, 5 minutes later, they signed, that was it. But the seller attorney did made a revision, and then the buyer attorney signed it. It's literally...
But nonetheless, it expedited the whole review process.
Oh, much quicker.
It was already, it was much quicker. And let's talk about that now. What the importance, I mean... Basically, when the offer is accepted, we went through the whole contract
yes.
of sale.
They mm-hmm.
have an offer. It's accepted by the seller. The New Jersey contract is a starting point. The attorney's under attorney review. The contract is disapproved until the proposed modifications are agreed to by both the buyer and seller attorney. But let's talk about it. From the buyer perspective, it's very important with the attorney process that you select an attorney that's mm-hmm. that does real estate and that's going to be pretty much on the ball and responsive in a quick matter.
Yes.
And the reasons for that are because there's a risk during attorney review. You could get outbid because basically the seller under attorney review can cancel for any reason.
The buyer
cancel,
so that's the seller. Yes.
Right. So from the seller's perspective, there's no great urgency to rush because, well, I have this one in that I'm negotiating with, but if I get another offer that's better and more favorable terms, I could just tell my attorney kill buyer A and go with buyer B.
It happened time yeah. after time because that's a heartbroken for the buyers. We had an experience that was back last year, I think. There was the buyer attorney. Unfortunate. That was a very unfortunate situation. The buyer attorney, you know, took a few days off because of a family issue or something. And in the meantime, we started review, but they took a little longer, much longer. In the meantime, and even though we stopped the showing, because most of the time the seller continued to show until we conclude the review. Because as you mentioned, Ken, it's a two-way street. The seller can cancel or the buyer can walk. So there's two-way street. So normally they continue to show. But in that case, in good faith, and the seller stopped showing because, you know, there's a lot of work for them too. So they just said that's good. So however, in the meantime, someone saw the house before and bid and lost the house. So we went with this buyer. But because the review took a little bit longer, the other buyer lost this house and lost another one or two house, you know, the following weekend. And then they came back to us, offered something the seller cannot refuse.
Right.
So at that time, I mean, as a listing agent, I said the seller is really good faith to go back to first buyer, let them know. Because, you know, I mean, they're heartbroken. I told the buyer agent what happened, but unfortunately, the buyer got really emotional. They felt the seller get greedy, the seller. In fact, I try to explain to the buyer agent, I understand how you feel. I totally get it. It's so frustrating. Not your fault. Unfortunately, the lawyer wasn't available. So, but however, if other buyers more willing, they want to put money in the seller's pocket, you know, they equally, you know, I mean, we only can sell one family, unfortunately. So they refused. They didn't believe us. And at the end, the seller attorney, you know, cancel the contract. So went with the second one. So that's happening. So for the buyer out there, once you're in the contract, it's truly in your best interest to finish the review as soon as possible to protect, you know, your right and contract. Because during the term review, the buyer can walk, so does the seller. There's no reason needed. They don't have to give any valid reason.
But here's another tactic that some buyer agents put into their contracts, which I think is not a bad idea. Some will write in the additional provisions of the realtor contract, no more showings if you accept our offer, and secondly, only backup offers only.
Once again, Ken, I get that. But first of all, let's say they don't have a legal stand. I mean, I lost a contract many years ago, right? That wasn't even in a seller market. That was like we went through multiple bid. We went to multiple bid. And then on the contract says, you know, backup offer only. We win the attorney review. But once again, we already went through a final and best. In good faith, seller should stay with us. But they didn't. And then someone else came in, just outbid us. We were not even given an opportunity. They didn't even come back to us. They just sent us cancellation when we the other offer.
Well, that stings a little.
Wrote in the contract, but you know better than me, right? In the contract, it doesn't take any effect until, you know, the lawyer finished review. So even you write on the contract, but until lawyer signed off, there's no binding. So, and secondly, in this seller market, sometimes I had a buyer demanding the seller cancel the open house if I don't accept the offer by 5 p.m. on Friday, we withdraw. Let's really put a bad taste in the seller mouth. I had a similar, the case, right? That was last year in May, I think. And the buyer gave us an offer Friday afternoon, 5 o'clock, and then otherwise withdraw. The seller feel really demanding. The seller felt the buyer's unreasonable.
Well, I guess it depends which hat you're wearing. If you're a buyer agent, you're going to advocate for your buyer's rights and you're going to try to protect them to the extent
you're not advocating. You're upsetting people.
But again, it depends from their perspective. They're trying to protect their buyers and their rights in the house. But from the seller's, from the list agent's perspective, you're trying to, you want to keep the opportunities open to the extent possible, so your seller can, you know, isn't closing any doors prematurely.
Yes, I think the best thing is, you know, when the seller's hard, you know, you start with a strong offer, everything's ready, and the seller feel it's a sure thing. I mean, when seller feel sure thing, most the sellers stay with you. Most the seller, I mean, in our experience, right, because this is such a recent market, the seller already got pretty good number. So any additional number to them, it doesn't make as much difference as when they need to enough money to pay off their debt and a little bit left for themselves. At the moment, right, just be genuine and just, you know, provide all the information you can provide and show the seller you're ready to go. So you're sincere and you're ready. Yes.
Okay, very good. Well, we're running out of time, so we're going to have to continue this for the next show and get into the whole steps once the buyer is selected and they've won the hard-fought battle. And then we're going to uncover their journey to buying the home in the next show, starting with the home inspection and all that fun stuff.
Absolutely. And thank you very much. Have a great weekend. See you next week.
Bye now.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.